James chapter number 1. James chapter number 1. Thank you, Miss Caitlin. Man, I love that song. Boy, that is just good. That's some good stuff. I appreciate that. They do it really, really good. Amen. All right, so in James chapter number 1, and we'll start reading in verse number 1. We've already preached through verse number 4. So tonight we're going to look at verse 5 through 27. But we're going to start off by just kind of getting our bearings back where we were last week. The Bible says, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. And once again, when we read a passage of Scripture, we got to know who he's speaking to. All right? And from this we can deduce that he's speaking to the Jews of this time. All right? But it is and does apply to the church. My brethren, count it all joy when we fall into diverse temptations. Those temptations were trials. Does everybody remember that? Amen? All right, we talked about those trials. It's not a matter of if they come. It's when they come. All right, that we're to count it all joy, knowing that the trying of your faith worketh patience, a word that none of us like. And word that none of us want to ask for. Somebody help me right there. Amen. All right, verse number 14. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Now, James is trying to, the word perfect we're going to see throughout the book of James. And the idea, the meaning behind that word perfect is mature. And so when what James is trying to get, and the whole theme of this book, if you really, is Christianity being practical. In other words, putting feet to your faith. If you say you're a Christian, then live like a Christian, right? I mean, this was very practical to him. He says, hey, if you say you have faith and not have works, then I say your faith is dead. In other words, if you're telling me that you're a Christian, but you can't prove it in your works, then I have a question whether or not you're even a Christian. He said, but I'll show you through my works that I have faith. Does anybody understand what I'm saying right here? His mindset was Christianity ought to be practiced, not just pronounced. It ought to be practiced. It ought to be practical. It ought to be something that we can put into our everyday life. All right? And he starts this whole thing off telling us that trials, temptations here, that word temptation means trials. Now we're going to see tonight there's another temptation dealt with in chapter number 1 that ain't trials. But in this instant, he is talking about trials. And he says that when we fall into them, we will fall into them, that we're to count it all joy. And I told y'all last week, man, my math don't add up that good. That's some of that common core math in the Bible. Amen. Joy ain't something that I would say I experience when I go through something, okay? But we are to count it all joy because God is working something in us. Everybody remember that? And we talked about enduring. He says, but let patience have her perfect work. In other words, carry that load. Carry that trial. Don't drop it. Don't try to get out from underneath it. Don't try to escape it. He says to carry it. Endure it. Why? Because it makes us stronger. It's given to us for a reason. Is everybody all right? Because we acting like we ain't never heard this before, all right? I can preach the other one. I'll just have to go get my notes, okay? So how do we endure? I think James fixing to tell us something, and I told Brother Scott, I think I got this right. I mean, I'm trying, but I think I got this right. I think he give us some ingredients that have to be present for a Christian to endure diverse temptations. For us to be able to endure them and to look on the other side and count it with all joy, there has to be some ingredients that I think is found in the rest of this chapter, all right? Now, I ain't going to stand up here and testify that this is it, but I will say this. I do believe that if we practice and we have these things, that we'll be able to endure these trials, all right? So, let's start our reading in verse number 5. The Bible says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. It shall be given him. I think the very first ingredient that you and I have to endure a trial or a temptation here is we got to have wisdom.
All right? If wisdom wasn't a requirement, he wouldn't say, if you lack it, then ask for it. All right? The fact is that how many of you know that there is a difference between wisdom and knowledge? I read an illustration that said that Henry Ford had a big engineering or a big generator put it as one of his plants, and he had this engineer come in. He built this big generator, and he bought it and put it in as one of his plants. And anyhow, something went wrong with the generator. So he got his mechanics to go out there, and they tinkered with it. That was his wording. They tinkered with the generator and couldn't get it to work. And so he called the man that made the generator and asked him to come get this generator working. So the guy comes out there, and Henry Ford told him, he said, look, I had my mechanics, I had my electricians, I had everybody tinker with this thing, and they could not get it running again. So the guy went out there. He was out there just a few moments. He come back in, and he says, everything's working. They fired it up. There the generator goes to working, and he handed Mr. Ford a bill for $10,000. And he looked at him and he said, $10,000? They said, Mr. Ford, he was tight. He was a tightwad, all right? How many of y'all know what that is, all right? Yeah, y'all are, all right. So he says, listen, he said, $10,000? He said, it didn't take you that long. You just went out there and tinkered with it. It didn't take you that long. Why are you charging me $10,000? He said, well, sir, I charged you $10 for tinkering with it, and I charge you $9,990 for knowing where to tinker. Amen. See, there's knowledge, and then there's wisdom. And wisdom is not just knowledge. Wisdom is knowing what to do with the knowledge or information that you have. All right? And so James says, listen, he says, if any of you lack wisdom, he said, I want you to know something. If you're wondering, why is this happening to me? Or if you're wondering, what is the purpose of this? He says, if you lack wisdom in it, he says, let him ask of God. Not of your best friend. Not of your preacher. Not of your Sunday school director or Sunday school teacher and all that other stuff. We got people around here running around to people in the church that don't even come to church asking them how they're going to get through your Christian life. They ain't got it figured out either. I'll go ahead and tell you. Everybody all right? We're so quick to run to somebody else, and the last person we go to is God. James says, if you want wisdom, then ask it of God. But he doesn't just stop right there and say, hey, go ask of God. He lets us know something about God in this, and he says, he will give it to all men liberally. In other words, as much as you ask for, he'll give it to you. Y'all help me. Are y'all understanding what I'm saying tonight? The Bible says, and upbraideth not. That means this. God ain't going to get upset with you. If you come to him over and over, Jesse, and ask him for wisdom, he's not going to get upset about it. He wants you to come and ask him for wisdom. How am I going to make it through my trial? I'm going to have wisdom. How many of y'all would disagree with that? If I'm going to make it through this trial, if I'm going to make it through this problem, I have to have wisdom. I had somebody send me a message, a preacher's wife sent me a message, and they resigned the church, and she was saying, she said, preacher, please pray for me, pray for my husband, and he just doesn't know what to do. He knows it's the right thing to do, but pray for his sanity, pray for this, that, and the other. And I said, I'm going to tell you what I'm going to pray for. I'm going to pray for him to have discernment. Because the last thing that we need is people, preachers, that are outside the ministry. And so discernment. He needs discernment as to where God's leading him. He needs discernment as to where God wants him to be and what God wants him to do. That's what I need. I need discernment. I read this thing, man, I'm telling you. I, the very first thing I come across this verse, you know what the very first thing I wanted to do? Ask God for wisdom. I mean, y'all talk to me. If I understand that if I lack wisdom in a problem and I can ask God for it and he gives it to me freely, then I'd be an idiot not to ask God for wisdom. And also understanding that God ain't going to get upset with me if I ask over and over and over and over again for wisdom. So I can go to God as many times as I need to and ask God for wisdom, and it shall be given him. I can pray knowing that God is going to answer my prayer. Why? Because God give it to all men liberally. So wisdom, we see it's easy to obtain. All we have to do is ask God for it. And it's available at all times. The Bible says God won't upbraid of us. He won't revile us. He won't reproach us for asking Him for wisdom. And so if I'm going to get through this thing, I'm going to have wisdom and understanding of some things. Now that don't mean, that doesn't mean that we're going to have an understanding of why we're going through something. But it will give us understanding that this is for a purpose. We might not know what the purpose is, but have understanding that it is a purpose. We see that we must have wisdom. Verse number 6, the Bible says, "But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways." So, first off, we got to have wisdom. If we're going to make it through this trial, if we're going to endure this trial, we're going to come out mature, we're going to have wisdom, but we're also going to have faith. The Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. The Bible tells us that faith cometh by what? Hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. All right, so is faith obtainable? Absolutely. Brother Scott's right, y'all are dead tonight, all right? Faith is obtainable. How do we obtain faith? We got to read our Bible. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. I've got to be, somebody help me, I've got to be in love with my Bible. Now I'm going to ask you a question. Everybody look up here. I'm going to ask you a question. How many of you has read your Bible as much as you read Facebook this week? Don't raise your hand. Don't raise your hand. Because if some of you ain't got Facebook, you're like, hey. They something. The fact of the matter is we do other things, we put over the Word of God. And yet complain about things that are going on in our life and the lack of faith that we have in it. Bible says this, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. That means to ask in faith knowing that God's going to answer it. Nothing wavering. For he that wavers is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. In other words, asking God and doubting the whole time you're asking. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. If I'm praying and asking God, if I'm praying and asking God and doubting at the same time that he's going to do it, then I'm wavering. Is everybody with me? I have to have faith. I got to have faith that God, I have to have wisdom to get through this trial, but I have to have faith that God is going to get me through this trial. I can't depend on me. I can't depend on you. You can't depend on me. That's not a snide on y'all. I'm saying you can't depend on me. You can't depend on you. The only way that we get through this trial is by faith that God is going to get us through this trial. I'm reminded of a deacon that says, his favorite verses that came to pass. Preacher said, what do you mean it came to pass? He said, I'm just thankful that whatever come, it came to pass. It didn't come to stay. It came to pass. Whatever you're going through, you're going to get through it. The question for most of us is are we going to be closer to the Lord on the other side of it? Or are we going to be farther away from it? Y'all help me now. Goodness, it's tough tonight. I ain't going to lie to y'all. It's tough tonight. I got to have wisdom, but I have to have faith. That's it. I got to have faith. If I'm going to get through this trial, I got to have faith that God's going to get me through this trial. I have to have faith that this is a purpose. God has a reason for this. And that God desires my good. Because if I don't have that faith, then I'm going to start blaming God. I'm fixing to get on that. But if I don't have faith, I'm going to start blaming God. I'm going to start blaming everybody else. And I'm going to get bitter about the trial that I'm in. Does everybody see where I'm going with this? Does anybody disagree? If I don't have faith that God's going to get me through this, if I don't have faith that God is allowing this to happen in my life for a purpose, then I'm going to come out the other side of this with bitterness, and I'm going to come out the other side of this with blame. So I have to keep faith in this trial. And I have to believe that God is working all things together for my good. I've been there. I've been on the other side of this, and I've been on the side that shows bitterness. I've been on the side that lays blame. I've been on the side that says, "What in the world are you doing, Lord?" Rather than, "God, if this is what you want me to go through, then Lord, you are my creator. You are my deliverer. You are my salvation. God, you are my..." Is everybody all right? I'm just covered all right here. You're my everything. It's easy to say that when everything's going good. It's a lot harder to say that when you're in the middle of a trial. So your trial is either... You're going to have... We got to have wisdom, but we got to have faith. Because without faith, our trial is going to end up driving us away from God instead of to God. Right? So I have to have faith. If I want to make it through this trial, one ingredient I'm going to have to have is wisdom. The second ingredient I'm going to have to have faith. And faith is obtainable. We remember the Lord. One of the I'm remembering scripture, and one of them said, "Lord, help thou my unbelief." We have scripture, as we've already quoted, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. You and I know how we can get more faith. So it is obtainable. And in its absence, it's impossible to please God. I want you to notice the third ingredient. Is everybody with me? Let's start reading in verse number 9. "Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways." Say, now that's, I'm just going to be honest with you. This one right here was just a weird set of verses to be thrown right in the middle of this. I sat there and I read some commentators, and they'd say something like, "This is written like a proverb. It's just thrown right in the middle of it." But I think it has a purpose. Because when I read of it, the very first thing when I read, when I see something like the low, all right, let the, what did it say, the low man, the poor man, had it word? He says, "Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low." First thing I thought about is humility. See, it's an ingredient that I'm going to have. I'm going to make it through my trial. I'm going to have to realize that I cannot do it on my own. The rich man, he trusts in his riches to get him through his trials. He trusts in his bank account to get him through. But the brother of low degree, let him rejoice when he exalted. In other words, when God gets him through it, he rejoices. Is anybody seeing what I'm saying right here? Humility is a key ingredient for us getting through our trial. If we go into our trial thinking that we're just going to fix it all, we're just going to get it all done, we're going to get it. And many of us, let me say this, there's many a person that's gone into their trial with the mentality, "I'm going to get out from under this thing." And what do we say? Let patience have her perfect work, her maturing work. There's a reason that I'm under this load. So the idea is not to get out from under the load. The idea is to carry the load. The idea is for me to have wisdom in how to carry the load. The idea is me to have faith in that I'm coming through this on the other side. I'll be able to carry the load. The wisdom is that I would have humility, or rather the ingredient is that I have humility, knowing that I can't carry it alone. Once again, I go back to this thought. The trial is here. Either the trial will push you away from God, or it will push you to God. in a maturing Christian, they'll get closer to God. And a carnal Christian, they're going to leave the faith. We know this. How many times have we seen it? Times get hard. Things don't work out just the way somebody thought. All right. Christianity, I tried Christianity, it didn't work for me. The maturing Christian carries the load and keeps going. The load that God allows to come in their life, they use that to get closer to God. How do I get closer to God when my trial is so heavy? How can you carry your trial without God? Do you see what I'm saying? So if I'm going to carry my trial, I'm going to have to get him as close to me as possible. And we know that he will help. So we have to have wisdom. We have to have faith. We have to have humility. Is everybody ready for the next ones? No, you're not. You're not. The Bible says, verse number 12, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. That's a happy guy. Notice it says endureth. He got through it. Right? All right. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let's continue on. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. That means don't stray. Don't stray. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. All right? So, we get into this third, or this fourth, rather, ingredient. We've seen wisdom. We've seen her work in this. We've seen faith and realize we have to have faith. We've seen humility and we realize we have to have humility. But let me say this, and this is a touchy one. We got to have self-control. See, the verse number 13, I believe it is. Let me get back to that. Verse number 13. Let no man say when he is tempted. Now this is different than what we've been looking at. So far we've been looking at temptation as a trial. But now if we don't have wisdom and we don't have faith and we're not humble about it, then what we're going to do is we're going to assign blame. And ain't this world good at assigning blame right now? Now, I'm fixing to make some people mad. They may leave the church. And they may quit watching on Facebook. They may do all these other things, all right? But that's fine. But we're just going to look at some of the events that are happening today. Somebody gets shot. One side says it's because he is a certain color. All right? The other side says, well, he should have stopped. Is everybody with me? Everybody's laying blame on somebody else. The police officer, he says, I told him to stop, he didn't stop. The black community is saying, that police officer ought not be scared and shoot somebody in the back. Everybody wants to blame somebody else. Well, officers need more training. Is everybody all right? I'm going to throw something out there. These kids need more training. I ain't never run from a cop. I've been treated bad by some cops too. But I ain't never run from no police officer. I've had a police officer stand there and cuss me out, threaten to take me to jail, all kind of stuff. I wanted to punch him in the face. But I didn't. Why? Because I had better training. Is everybody all right? But we lay blame on everybody else. We lay blame on God. We lay blame on our circumstance. We lay blame. Y'all help me. Y'all got to help me. Y'all, I'm struggling tonight. We lay blame on everybody else but ourselves. Even in the Christian community. Man gets caught having adultery. Or man gets caught slipping out with another woman. Something of that nature. And the whole church, the men of the church, the older ladies of the church, what do? Well, if she would have dressed right. What? If she would have dressed right, it's her responsibility to control his lust. Y'all help me. Somebody better help me. I know what I'm talking about. Everybody wants to put blame on everybody else. If we sin, it's because something else happened. If I sin, it's because somebody else caused me to sin. Well, I didn't want to, but it just happened that way. I mean, it was just there. I mean, it just, you know. I wouldn't have, but. Well, I know what the Bible says, but. I notice there's a lot of buts that make us look like butts. Somebody say amen. He says, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. So we can't blame God for it, right? So, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. So, is temptation a sin? No. Temptation's a fact of life. Every day I'm tempted. Say, preacher, where are you tempted? I'm tempted every day. Somebody cuts me off, I'm tempted to shoot him a bird. I'm tempted. Y'all think I'm kidding? I had my grandson with me yesterday, and I'm trying to pull out of the golf course over there in the parking lot. Some dude comes flying through there. I can't see nothing. Cars are side by side. I'm backing up. He comes flying through there with a golf cart, and my truck goes ding, 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 ding. I hit the brakes, and he's looking at me like, I got a pistol in the truck. I'm thinking right now, I'll pistol whip this joker right in front of his girlfriend. Right? But I was just tempted. I didn't act on it. Is everybody all right? The Bible says that every one of us is tempted when we're drawn away of our own lust. If you sin, it's because you chose to sin. Ha ha! Hey! But it was, my mama beat me when I was a youngin'. My teacher wasn't nice to me. We got doctors telling people, oh, the whole reason that you are the way you are is because of the way somebody raised you. According to the Bible, you are the ownership. You take ownership of your sin. So if I'm going to make it through my trial, I'm going to have to take ownership of myself. I'm going to have to make sure that my trial doesn't cause me or lead me into sin. Is everybody all right? Because y'all looking at me like I knew you would. See, I tried to get y'all all happy to begin with and y'all wouldn't do it. So now you're just going to eat it, all right? Let every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. There's a temptation, all of us. We've talked about this. You're going to be tempted every day of your life. You get on there and there's a Carl's Jr. How many of y'all know the Carl's Jr. commercial? Men, raise your hand. Don't even lie. Right now, don't even lie. You're in church and God's watching. Raise your hand if you know what I'm talking about. Go ahead, raise your hand. I know your wife's sitting there. Raise your hand If you know, yep. I need, everybody with me. Raise your hands. Y'all know about the Hardys and the Carl Jr., all right? Y'all know it? Everybody got it? All right, now I want one of y'all to tell me the name of the hamburger they sell it. The Big Mac. He says a Big Mac. He ain't married yet. That's why he's doing all that. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying temptation is there. It is. And yes, we should avoid it. You ought to change the channel when you see it. But we've all seen it. You walk in there, and I remember my buddy, he didn't even dip to Copenhagen. He said, man, I'm going to tell you what, that Copenhagen girl looks good. I said, who are you talking about? He said, the Copenhagen girl. I said, I have no idea what you're talking about. Next time I went to the store, there's a Copenhagen girl standing up there on one of the, this was years ago. I'm like, oh, I know what you're talking about. We're tempted by buying tobacco. I'm going to throw this out there for parents. Are y'all ready? Because some parents have a problem with the way I raise my children. I don't like for them to date. I don't think it's good. I don't think it's good for a youngin' to date. You can get mad about it if you want to. I don't care. They sit there all day and they're tempted just like you do. They see the commercials that you do and everything else. They get all ramped up and you put them in a vehicle with your daughter and they heading out to the woods or heading somewhere else off in the dark and you ain't got no problem with that. I've said this before. I own coon dogs. I had coon dogs I'd won thousands of dollars with. They was worth some money. But I wouldn't let my coon dog get in the truck with nobody else and go hunting with anybody else. So why in the world would I let my daughter, whom God gave me, is everybody all right? Now when she moved out, she'd do whatever she wants to. I can't control all that. It's on her now. Because this is your choices. But living at my house is my choices. And you're free to your own choice just as soon as you move out of. You want me to finish that? My house. What you hot? You all right? This must be a discussion y'all been having here lately. Kobe is beet red up here. Apparently, mom and daddy's been having some conversations with this young man. Whoa, preacher, whoa. Didn't Isaac live with Abraham till he was 30? Every one of us, we gotta practice self-control. This ain't found in Christians anymore. It's so much easier for us to blame everybody else for our shortcomings. It's so much easier for us to ascribe blame on anything. I shared with y'all this past Sunday. I did it to the Lord. This is what this is talking about. I'm not saying I'm better than you. I'm saying I fight with this just like you do, but I have to have self-control. If I'm going to make it through this, I can't be blaming God and blaming everybody else for my trial and my situation. I have to have self-control. Lastly, and I'm done, because y'all are mad, and I can tell it. You've been mad since you got here. The key ingredients I'm going to have to endure trials. I'm going to have wisdom. I'm going to have faith. I'm going to have humility. I'm going to have self-control. And everybody ready for this one? I'm going to have action. Action. Hey, yeah. Verse number 19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Boy, that just gut punched me right there. Me getting upset about it ain't working the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart. That word lay apart right there means cast away all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able
to save your soul.
All right, is everybody with me? I got to have an action here. All right, I see there's a departing. I have to do away with some things. Filthiness, superfluity of naughtiness, and then I'm going to have to receive some things. And receive with meekness what? The engrafted word. What is it? I got to receive instruction from the Bible. All right? Which is able to save your souls. Go to the next verse. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Let's finish the chapter, please, ma'am. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. Let's stop right there. You're all right. You can stay right there. Is this not how every Christian, not every, most Christians walk out of the church? Beholding themselves and then walking out and forgetting. What was point number 3 last week? See what I mean? I don't expect you to remember what I said. I don't. But we were in the right... I hope you do remember where we was at. The point is that many of us, we come to church, we hear, we're here to do our part, we're here to be here, to check off our little notch. We arrived, we were there. But we're doing nothing with what we get. See, there's a difference between hearing the word and receiving the word and then doing the word. This is what James is talking about all through this book. There's a lot of Christians that are receiving instruction but not applying it. What good does it do to have information if we won't apply it? You can have the greatest teacher in the world stand up here and teach. We can have Jesus himself come in here and teach. But if you're not willing to do what he teaches, then what difference does it make that he's here? So you can go brag on everybody about the greatest preacher was here? And we know that there was Christians that walked with him for 3 years, people that walked with him for 3 years that ain't even going to be in heaven. They received a lot of instruction, but they did not do it. They didn't apply it. So the question to us all, if we're going to get through this trial, I'm going to have wisdom. I'm going to have faith. I'm going to have humility. I'm going to have self-control. But then I'm going to have put it to action. I'm going to have to receive the word and put it to action. What is it that God wants you to do in the middle of this? What is it? You're going through a tough time. Hey, count it all joy. When you fall into divers temptation, count it all joy. God's working in you. God's doing a work in you. He's trying to do something. What is he trying to accomplish? And what can you do while you're in it? We can receive the word and then be doers of the word. The Bible says, as we continue on, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, him being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. There's a reward for us putting feet to our faith. So tonight, what ingredient is missing in your life? I'm going to go ahead and throw this out there. I think on all of us, to a certain degree, all of those ingredients. I don't think there's anybody in here that's got enough wisdom to say, God, I don't need any more. I don't think there's a person in here that says, God, I got enough faith that I don't need any more. I'm good in that department, Lord. I don't think there's a person in here that says, I got so much humility, Lord. Lord, I'd just like you to know I'm humble. Amen. I don't think any of us say, you know what, preacher, I got enough self-control that I can stand there in front of my greatest sin and it don't even bother me. Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. And I don't think there's a one of us in here that can say, you know what, everything that I'm instructed to do in that Bible, I apply it to my life. I may not be perfect, but I'll promise you this, if the Lord says, do a button hook, I'm there. If he says, run a post route, I'll do it. Y'all, some of y'all don't even know what I'm talking about right there. God, whatever you tell me to do, that's what I'm going to do. All right? I want you to love one another. Give me another one. Give me something else. Give me something else. He said, remember that seed of bitterness? What? Give me, there's got to be something else in there. That pride that goes before fall. Preacher! Lord, give me one more. That backbiting and gossiping tongue. Everybody all right? We all get a deer in the headlight look from y'all. We all will go through our trials. We all need these things to get through them. So while she comes to the piano, everybody is coming to the altar. Why? Because we need wisdom. Why? Because we need faith. Why? Because we need to be humble. Why? Because we need self-control. Why? Because we need to apply what we've heard and not lead out of here as a man beholding his face in the glass and then walking and straightway forgetting what he... Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. God, we are thankful, Lord, for your, Lord, many blessings. Lord, we're thankful for your love. Lord, I'm thankful for our church family, people that are here tonight. Lord, they didn't have to be here, but Lord, they chose to be here. Lord, I look amongst them and Lord, I see, Lord, the backbone of our church. I see the strength of our church. God, I pray, Lord, that you would help us. Lord, we come to you and we ask you for wisdom. God, I know I need it in my life, Lord, when I go through trials, Lord. And according to your word, Lord, if I ask, Lord, you give it to me liberally. Lord, I'm begging you. I believe you, Lord, that you're going to give me wisdom in this trial I'm going through. Lord, I come to you, Lord, seeking faith. Lord, I have faith. Lord, I believe. I believe you are who you said you are. I believe you'll answer prayers. God, I pray like that man in the Bible, Lord, that you would help me with my unbelief. Lord, I know the only way that's going to happen is me, Lord, to commit to your word more. Lord, I pray for humility. God, I pray that I never get to a place in my life where I think that I don't need you, that I can do it all on my own and there's no need to have you in my life. God, I pray for self-control. Lord, I know I'm a man. I'm a man with a sin nature. Lord, that can be drawn away. Lord, I'm tempted every day just as every man and woman in this building. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name. Lord, that you would place a hedge of protection around my eyes, my ears, my mouth, my mind. Lord, guard me. Lord, help me to practice self-control. God, I pray, Lord, that I'd put your word to action. Not just be a hearer of the word, but Lord, a doer of the word. Lord, let me take what I learn. Let me take what I read. Lord, apply it to my life, Lord, that I may be perfect, mature, Lord, I just don't want to be a babe in Christ. Lord, I beg for you to use me. Lord, I pray that I'm progressing in the faith and growing as I should. Lord, I pray that you help this church, bless us, use us. Lord, as we put feet to our faith, as we start living Christianity the way it should be lived, enduring the trials, knowing that God, you're using them for a purpose to make us stronger, to mature us, to bring others to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.